that is Thank you, Pat. Nice to see you back on the keyboard there, tinkling the ivory. Welcome to church. It's lovely to see you all today. We've got Catherine with us today and family from, well, they're not from the Philippines, but representing the Philippines here, and Rehoboth, which, have I said that right? Rehoboth, sorry, I knew I was saying it wrong as I said it. And that's one of the mission works that, as a church, we financially support, as well as spiritually support. So welcome to Catherine, and Catherine's going to pop up in a minute or two and bring us up to date in terms of that work. So she's got a little video for us. It's all exciting stuff. There won't be a newsletter next week, if you hadn't noticed, because we're in London, and I'm not taking the computer. So just make it up as you go along, really, for next week. But we've got Eric Moore with us. Terrific. You know, he always uplifts our spirits, doesn't he, when Eric comes. So that's great news. So he's tackling the beginning of Ephesians 2 with us. And it always starts with excellent news. This is a little flyer for you are dead in your trespasses and sins. So that's what Eric is going to be talking to us about next week. It gets happier rapidly as the passage moves on. So we can look forward to that next week. So we'll be back just in time to join you then. So as you know, we're looking at Ephesians at the moment. We've got a little theme going on Ephesians, and we conclude with the end of Ephesians 1 today. But I would just like to use some of the things that we've been learning about over the last 2 weeks in our opening prayer. So let's pray together. Well, Heavenly Father, we praise you today as we gather in your place and in your name. We praise you that we are blessed by you, God the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We praise you that you chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before you. What an extraordinary thing to promise us. We praise you that you have adopted us as children through Jesus Christ. What an honour that is, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we praise you, Lord, that you have, since before time began, been working out your will, and that through Jesus you have bought our lives through his blood on the cross and have forgiven us our sin because of the riches of your grace. We give you thanks, Lord, that you are working to create all things to become in unity under you, all things in heaven and things on earth. And we praise you also that we have gained an eternal, imperishable inheritance in Christ. We have so much to worship you for. So through the gift of your Holy Spirit, Lord, may we worship you this morning in truth and in love. We confess to you that even this week our minds have wandered in ways it shouldn't have done. We may have said things we shouldn't have done and done things we shouldn't have done. And we confess our weakness and our sin to you. But we know that you have promised that if we confess our sin, you will forgive us our sin and keep us safe in you. And we've also brought you today and through the gift box and other ways what is yours to give back to you. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with money, time and talent that we may spend it all in the service of your kingdom. So of your own do we give you. Amen. Well, we're going to open our worship this morning with a great classic hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, because the theme of today's service is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So let's sing together, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, number 327 if you're using the book, or I believe it's on the screen. So let's hope it's the same words in both places, shall we? Here we go.
Got a slide that links to me. That's good. Okay, so I'm Catherine Thompson, and I'm a full-time volunteer for a UK Christian charity called Rehoboth Children's Homes Trust. And Rehoboth operates in the Philippines and has been doing that since 1981, just over 40 years. And I usually live at the home for most of the year, but I came back in March 2020, just before the pandemic started, and I've been in the UK ever since. But I am planning, I'm glad to know, and I'm sure other people are glad to know, I'm going back in September, beginning of September. Until fairly recently, travel was very restricted going to the Philippines. There's a lot of things in place that stopped people going in, but they've now kind of moved all of those away, so I can enter now without too much trouble, I hope, apart from a COVID test. So I hope I'll be able to get back in. So, just to for those people who don't know, or to remind you, we have three main programs at Rehoboth. We support 67 children at the moment. We have a residential children's home, where we have 27 young people who live in the home with us, aged between 6 and 18. And they're looked after by staff at the home, house parents and social workers. And then we also support 38 students in the community. They live at home with their families, but we support them in their education and other things, for educational needs and other support that they might need. And we have two students in what is called our independent living program. So this is residents who are over 18, and we found it was difficult for them to live in a residential children's home alongside six-year-olds, seven-year-olds with the same kind of regulations. So we're moving them into a more independent style of living, which has been a bit difficult through COVID because the college dorms and things which they might have lived in haven't been open. So they've been living in a house in the garden and being more independent but being guided by our staff. So that's still a very new programme that we've started. Okay, So it's a bit pale. That's all of our residents taken just at the end of last year, standing outside a new toilet block we had built by our local water company in a bid to help our children wash their hands more frequently. There was a new washing area and a new disabled toilet built. So there they are posing, I think, for a photo outside the new toilet block, which was funded all by a local water company, which was great. Just to remind you, Shina is sponsored by your church, Abbotsham, and she's been in REAP since she was in grade 4. So for 13 years, she's been supported through Rehoboth, through elementary school, through high school, and now she's just graduating college. And I don't know if you had our local, our recent newsletter, her story. She wrote an article for us about herself and her family. So if you want to catch up with that, you can read it in the newsletter. So she's graduating this year with a BS in Business Administration. She's just done a 4-year college course, the last 2 years in COVID, which I think has been very difficult for all the college students. So she'll be looking for a job this summer. After graduation, she's... Shina's on the left in the white. That's her mum and two sisters and brother. Her father died some time ago. So she plans to take what is called a civil service exam, which you need to take if you want to do certain jobs. So she'll be planning to look for a local job in administration, but to take this exam, which will give a lot more job opportunities for her. She wants to get a job. When we asked her the other day, she wants to get a job to earn money to help her siblings continue their education and to help with the needs of her family. She and her sister wrote recently in letters, and her sister wrote about how much their mother does for their family because their father died. The mother is the sole provider of that family, and she works on a farm, she does laundry, she does, you know, she's not a particularly educated lady, she doesn't have a good job, but she works really hard so the children can continue to go to school. And her, that family particularly has always valued education. So Shina has that inbred in her to help her siblings go to school. And here she is also. She's on the right-hand side. I don't know if you'll see her in... I think she's in the peach shorts. Recently, all of our REAP students got together for the first time in 2 years at a team building that they had. But for the last 2 years, all of their meetings have been done online, on Zoom. So they haven't had their regular monthly meeting at Rehoboth, being encouraged, being supported in that way. They've had to do it on Zoom. So they were very excited at the end of last year to have an actual physical meeting with the rest of the team of the REAP students and our staff. So that was a good... They have a really good relationship together. Now, Rehoboth generally, it's hard to know what to share in quite such a short period of time. But just to let you know that with COVID, things are getting back to normal in the Philippines. Vaccinations are very high. A lot of people have had their vaccinations, including children up down to 5 years old and below, above. Schools just went back to face-to-face classes this March and April. So they've had 2 years. Nobody's been going to any schools, unlike our children, who were very fortunate to get back to school so soon, really. They've had 2 years learning at home, learning online. So they've just gone back to school this year. But the government were very keen to do many more vaccinations with children before they allowed the children to go back to school. So that was good, but hard for the kids to be at home. Travel's not so restricted anymore. People can go out and about much more. And I don't know if you read in the news last week, they had their elections for a new president. I don't know if you read about it. Ferdinand Marcos' son was elected as their new president. His name's Bongbong. Well, his nickname's Bongbong. Bongbong Marcos. We wait to see what his reign will bring, but his vice president is the outgoing president's daughter, Duterte's daughter. So I'm not sure that much is going to change, really. I think they're going to take the country in a similar way. But he's saying, don't judge me on what my dad did. Let's see what happens. We don't know. Yes, absolutely. So I don't know. Let's see. It's very early days. Very early days for that. But that was a big event in the Philippines. They thought that might be a big COVID super spreader event. But I haven't heard that. It feels like everything's okay. We had one building project at Rehoboth that we started just before COVID, obviously not knowing COVID was happening. And so this has been a bit delayed in being continued, really. It's called an eco-workshop centre, which is beside our boys' house, which we're building a building which we will be using to develop our income-generating projects. We encourage the children to have different skills that they will make different things, livelihood projects that they could take after the, when they leave the home, they could use those. Some of them make rugs, they make key rings, they make things out of old straws, things out of old t-shirts. So we don't really have a place at Rehoboth for the children to make these, for them to be stored, for them to display. So we're building an eco-workshop centre, but really, peso by peso, it's happening. And just recently we were given some money, so they put a toilet in, and then somebody else gave some money and they were able to tile the wall. So it's really been, it hasn't been something that we've felt has been a very big thing to focus on at the moment, because we've just focused on really providing the home with what they needed to get through COVID. But now we're going to be back to kind of featuring this again and trying to finish it a bit more. But people in the Philippines live in things quite unfinished and use them when they're quite unfinished. So it might look quite unfinished to you, but they would get on and use it even if it was what looks to be part built. But it's on the way, it's on the way. While I've been in England for the last 2 years, we've had a couple of new staff at the home, and they've just taken on a new educational coordinator called Kenneth, who, I mean, he looks about 15, but I mean, he's a college graduate of 22 or 23. And I've only met him via Zoom, but because the children have been at home doing all their learning, 20 plus children trying to all study in their individual modules on a computer, which we only don't have that many of. It's been really great to have somebody coming in and being and working with the children. And he's been great for me, because I teach the children on Zoom, and he's been a great person. He has good English, he relates well to the children. It's so nice for me to work just with one person. And it's been really good. It'll be nice to actually meet him in person in September when I go back. But he works really well with the children. He's really nice. He's a Christian, and the children really respond well to him. So as I said, the children went back to school in April, and the classes opened up again, and here's some of our children on their way to school. I think they still wear masks when they go out and about, and they wear masks in school, they told me. So that's been very good. So the little children, they go to a local primary school, they just walk down the road to school. But the high school children, they go in the minibus because it's further away to go to. So this was their first day back when they were going to school. And they were very excited, the social worker said, to be going back to school, meeting their friends, some of them meeting teachers for the first time, some of them going to a new school for the first time because they'd gone on to high school during COVID. So they're very excited to be going to school and meeting their friends. I've continued with my Zoom tutorials. When I'm at the home, I teach the children after school and at weekends. But during COVID, I've been able to teach them during the daytime because they haven't been going anywhere. Most of them have just been doing booklets at home. So they've loved, actually, coming to what they would call a direct teaching session with me, because they haven't had any contact with teachers really for 2 years. They just get a booklet, fill it out, and then send it back to the teacher. So I've been doing tutorials with them, individual ones for the little ones, groups for the older ones. So I'm continuing that, even though they have gone back to school, because the time difference, 7 hours, I'm 7 hours ahead. They are 7 hours ahead, so I can teach them and they're home in the afternoon. And some of them are only in school for half days, or they go to school 1 week because they're in group A and then the group B go the next week. So they're still being very restricted in the Philippines. They're not having whole classes all the time, but, you know, they are helping with some of that. And here's some of the different classes that I've been teaching. Another big part of what happens at Rehoboth is healthcare, and all through COVID this has carried on. Local dentists, nurses, doctors come in to help with the health of the children, checking them. We've recently taken on the services of a nurse who comes in and checks the children regularly. They check their weight, their height, and all those kind of things. And they also give seminars to them, first aid training, and they often also invite the community in and do seminars and things for the mothers and the children who live in and around the local community, which is a really good thing that Rehoboth can do. And the Philippine Red Cross have also been in recently and done training with the staff and with the children. So Rehoboth isn't just about what happens in the home, we also reach out to the local community too. So recently also, just at the end of last year, they had a water baptism. Obviously we don't have a baptismal pool at Rehoboth, although we do have a church beside us. They go to a local river, and within the home the children all attend the local church together, and the Rehoboth family acts as a big big family, basically. They have devotions in the morning, they have devotions in the evening, they have Bible studies, and everything is done in a Christian, what you would hope a Christian family would be. And so everybody takes part. People aren't forced to believe anything. You know, we like to wait and hope and pray that the children will make their own decisions to follow Jesus and to get baptized. And a group of them, there's a few REAP students in there too, that were baptized recently in the local river. One of our staff is a pastor. He pastors the church and he baptized the children. And it's a great delight to the staff when this happens. So I'm sorry I missed it. The other thing they've done recently, just before Easter, they had a big spiritual retreat for 2 days. They went to a local farm and did a sleepover and had a spiritual retreat and team building. And it was led by the staff. And they also invited a couple of former residents who live locally, who had grown up in the home and are local pastors now, and one's a teacher. They came back in and worked with the children, because our staff thought it was really good that children, young people who had come through the home themselves, would work with our present young children and be able to talk to them about some of the difficulties that they might experience and things. So it was good for them to be encouraged and to lead some of the groups. They did some team building activities together, split them into groups, and they had a lot of fun doing different things. Obviously the weather was good on that day, although we're in a bit of a rainy season now, so they were good. They were fortunate to have some good weather for that activity. They also split them into some cell groups during that time and put the children in smaller groups to have small group discussions and to talk about things and to pray about things and to share on a different level, and led by, again, these former residents and that. So, again, lovely to see these children growing up and in that environment. And I've missed 2 years of their life, so I'm looking at them and thinking, gosh, they've grown and, you know, gone from little children into teenagers in the time that I've been away. Then they also had a prayer station set up around this farm where they had different activities and different ways in which to, I think they're talking in cups in one of them, talking in cups to God. And Filipinos are amazing at creating beautiful things out of what appear to be nothing. So they've created these prayer stations and, you know, fish out of bamboo and little stations and that, and lovely activities for the children to take part in, which was really good. And then on the last day, they went to the river on Easter Sunday morning and had a sunrise service and remembered that. So it's really, really good. Lots of things have been happening at Hobart, and it's funny for me to talk about it when I haven't been there, because usually I'm telling you about it because I've been part of it. So I still have a lot of contact with them. I talk to them on Zoom and that, but it's not the same as being there. So I am looking forward to going back in September and being part of it again more on a day-to-day basis. These are a few of the things if you wanted to remember to pray for us during the week. Continuing managing COVID and what's happening in the Philippines, because obviously it can always spring up again. And so do pray for that. The new president, what that's going to bring for the country. They finish their school year in June, which is why I'm not really choosing to go out in the next few months. They're tying up their school year soon, so they'll be on their school holidays for a couple of months. So I'm planning to go back on September the 3rd. And generally, in the last few years, it's been difficult to actually plan in Rehoboth for things to happen in the future, because we've just been coping, getting through COVID. So when I get back, one of our big jobs will be, where's Rehoboth going in the next few years? You know, where are we taking it? Are we increasing our community work? Are we increasing our residential? How are we going to develop? So we'd appreciate prayer for that, because, again, it's hard to do it from afar, not amongst. I don't have a feel in quite such the same way as I had when I lived there. But I still definitely feel like I'm going back and going to be part of it for a few more years. So do pray for that too, that I get all my things in place for my COVID testing and that sort of stuff that happens, if that's still in place then. I made a little video clip. I wanted to talk to the children about what they thought about going back to school. So I asked them. I'm afraid you have to listen to me asking them questions, because it was hard to get the video clip without me in it. So excuse me in it. But just to put it in context, the first girl that talks is a 7-year-old who's in grade 1, and she's only just really started school. So I've worked with her a lot for the last 2 years. The second person who speaks is her sister, who's 15, and she's only in grade 2. Because when they came to us, none of them had been to school, and Tintin was 12 years old and never been to school, so she had to start in daycare. So she started in daycare, she went to grade 1, now she's in grade 2. But she's 6, 7 years old, older than her sister, but only one grade ahead of her. But you'll see how good her English is, considering she didn't know anything when she came to the home. But they're sisters, and they're only 1 year apart in school. Very hard. But I thought it'd be nice for you to hear from the children what they have to say. So I hope you can understand their Filipino English. Okay, thank you.
There was great excitement at Rehoboth last week, the 11th of April, as finally our children were able to go back to school. They have face-to-face classes now after learning at home for 2 years. I asked some of the children what they thought about this. Grade 7. So you just started. school this school year?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, how many people are in your class at the moment? 20 people in your class. And is that, you have your class in the mornings or the afternoon?
Morning.
Morning. What time do you start your lessons?
7 o'clock.
7? Okay. And what time do you come home?
11:30.
So you have no classes in the afternoon at school? Why do you like going to school?
Because my friend.
Because of meeting your friends?
Yes, auntie.
So you started a new school. Have you made lots of new friends?
Yes, auntie.
So you've got lots of new friends?
Yeah.
So you're excited to be back at school again?
Yes, auntie.
Oh, good. Good. Excellent. Okay, all right, Ellen. Thanks so much for talking to me.
Exciting, isn't it? So important to that children grow up to flourish, and flourishing here in a wonderful Christian context as well. In fact, those children, the lives those children are living, are quite lessons for us about how we should live together as a Christian community, isn't it? I mean, it's a really bounded, it's central at the heart of their lives, both individually and together. What great news to know that, you know, past students have come back now as full adults, come back as pastors to work alongside children. So much to pray for, but let's just have a short prayer for Rehoboth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the work of Rehoboth, for the people who have dedicated their lives to the lives of children, that they may flourish and grow up in the knowledge of Jesus, be equipped with the skills that they need to cope with their lives and to provide for others. We think particularly of Shania, and thank you for her life, the way she loves her family and is now looking forward to earning and supporting her family after her mother has done so much for her. We think of Ken as he's joined the home and school to encourage those children in their education. We thank you for the life and dedication of Catherine. We ask, Lord, that she'll be safe on her journey home and make good preparations, and that re-entry into that environment will be smooth and planned out in your footsteps there. We ask, Lord, generally just for the continued blessing of this work, and may we, Lord, as a church and as sponsors, be faithful in our prayer and love for this work and the people there, and may we rejoice with them who have bring whatever they have to their celebrations and worship. We admire the artistic flourish with which they worship you. So bless this whole work, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our worship with two more songs sung straight after each other, which I actually haven't written down. I haven't changed my order of service because they got changed at the last minute. So it's whatever 881 is, closely followed by an even better 870. It's up there. Lift, Lord, I lift up your name. Let's sing together.
will get there, sorry. Be there.
Reading today comes from Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 15 until the end of the chapter. Paul's prayer for spiritual wisdom. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for Christians everywhere, I have never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light, so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honour at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ, and he gave him this authority for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is filled by Christ, who fills everything, everywhere, with his presence.
Heather, Heather was reading from the New Living Translation, and so it might have differed from the Bible that you had slightly in the hand, but it's a very clear translation in this passage. When we look at some of the verses on the screen shortly, that will be in the NIV, which is the version that you have with your seats there. Let's for a moment pray. Heavenly Father, as we look closely at your word, this letter from Paul to the Ephesian church, we ask, Lord, that you will open the eyes of our hearts, that we may understand more about our Lord Jesus and our relationship with him. Amen. I think it's just a little bit of a preamble into the verses that we're going to look at, or the sentences. We're only looking at two sentences. That whole letter, was just two sentences. Do you remember when Alan came and he talked about, you know, this was a great long sentence in chapter one, and Paul's writing in this same style again, of piling it on and on and on and on and on. It's actually quite hard when you read a very long sentence to keep all the meaning all the way through the sentence. Do you find that? And you get halfway through and then you have to like go back to the beginning of the sentence and say, what did that connect with? And how does that work together there? So we're going to try and make some of those connections today as we look at that. We're going to do it relatively briefly here. But I just want to say to begin with, at the heart of the Christian message and at the heart of the Christian life is relationship. It's not rituals, it's not the year and the cycle of the year, you know, it's Easter now and it's Lent or it's Christmas or whatever. Those are the things. It's not the customs and practices that we have. That's not the heart of Christianity. It's not even loads of rules and things we should do and shouldn't do. At the heart of Christianity is the relationship between God and us, and our relationship. It's extremely personal, and it's all based upon our relationship with him. Well, get that slightly wrong. It's based on his relationship with us. So in our thinking, it's really quite hard for us as people to do this. In our thinking, the message of the Bible and the message that God has for us is God-centered, not us-centered. And we'll see some of this working out in this particular passage. Now, Ephesians is a letter that was written to the Ephesian church, but it's also written to the wider church. It's a slightly less personal letter. There aren't any little personal bits at the end. You know, Paul often writes, you know, tell Harry, I hope he's doing well, that sort of stuff at the end of letters there. But there isn't any of that in Ephesians, because it was written to the church, but for circulation around the whole of Asia Minor. So this is a message for all churches that we have here today. It's also a message that comes from, it's about revelation, but it comes from a revelation. So this is about God revealing himself through Jesus Christ. Now, revelation is different to any other type of learning. And he refers to this in this type of passage. So we can learn stuff, can't we, from books, you know. We can learn this stuff from lectures. And then we remember these facts and we make connections. And it becomes, as it were, mental or intellectual knowledge. What's different about the Christian message is that it does include that. We know stuff. But until it connects with us spiritually, until it's a revelation in our heart, it's not truly communicated with us. Now, Paul learnt the gospel by revelation. It's quite different to how the other apostles, as you like, the main leaders, learnt. They learnt by walking around with Jesus, seeing him do stuff, listening to him, asking him questions, living with him. But Paul learnt by revelation. These things, he tells us, were revealed. I'll just find that passage somewhere. Where did I write that? Because I just jumped half my text at at this point here. So somewhere in Ephesians 3, he talks about that. He talks about... sorry, I've just lost my notes. I do apologise. Oh, sorry. So in Ephesians 3:2, it says, "Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation." And in Galatians as well, he wrote, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. It's not made up by people. Yes, I did not receive it from any man." So he didn't go and talk to Peter and talk to John and talk to James. He found this out on his own. It was revealed directly to him by God. "Nor was I taught, rather I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." Now this was sort of checked out. So we go to Acts 15 and we find that Paul is meeting with the other apostles and the other church leaders. And they're sort of checking out their stories together here, you know. "This is what I'm saying, what are you saying?" Stuff was going on there. And actually the two were the same. One set of people had learnt it by walking around with Jesus, and Paul had learnt it by supernatural, quite honestly, revelation. He talked in another place about being taken up to heaven. "I know not whether I was in the body or in the spirit. I don't know this." Essentially, he was having a vision, really, learning these things taking place. And this is the core. What was revealed to him is what he wants then to communicate to everybody else, and knocking on, communicating to us. So he's writing back to friends, isn't he, in Ephesus. He spent 3 years in Ephesus, preaching, teaching. He's writing back to people he knows, but he's also writing back to people he doesn't know, because the church has grown since then, and there are people that he doesn't know. So he's wanting to build up this church. He's the founder of the church. He's still, as it were, the overall pastor for the church, although he's not there. He's truly caring for them. And what's he doing is he's praying for them. I mean, Nick, have we got this up and live here? Just press. I pressed something, Nick. Which one should I press? If not that one. Oh, there we go. So this is what he's doing. He's praying in verse 16. Let's go on one. That way? That one? There we are. In verse 16, he writes this, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in all my prayers." There are two things are going on here, isn't there? Paul is continually praying for the church as he's going on. And he's also giving thanks for the church here. They're very simple things, aren't they? To remember to pray, and for the people we're praying for to give thanks. But there's a lesson for us in that, isn't there? There's a lesson about the discipline of our prayer life, the regularity of our prayer life. And when we're praying, do we remember to rejoice in these people that we're praying for there? Is it with a thankful heart we approach our prayer? So are we disciplined and thankful in our approaching of our prayer for each other? Yeah. For the children of God. Go back a verse, and he opens this little phrase here. "But for this reason, ever since I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all people," and he goes on, "that's I give thanks and I pray for you." He's setting out here the basic core of this church. It's a church of people who have faith, and it's a church of people who love. They have faith in Jesus and they love everybody. Have you noticed that? The biggest word there is the smallest word, is all. My love for all the people. I find that hugely challenging. How about you? Yeah. love for all the people. I mean, the heart of the Christian church ought to be, because the godly way is, no partiality. No, these are my friends, and these are less my friends. These are people actually I'm not friendly with. I'm not going to be reconciled to these people. No, what he recognised in the Ephesus church was a church that had love for all the people of God. Of course, that extends beyond, doesn't it? Because we've also called to go beyond our walls, aren't we? So this morning we've been up for a little trip to the Philippines, haven't we? To love and rejoice with Christians way beyond our walls, way beyond our place. You know, so we can creep out from here, can't we? Into the next few villages, into the next town, through into the county, into the nation, beyond the borders, you know. I think, quite honestly, Jesus has not declared Brexit. You know, we haven't broken off from everybody else. It is a universal church. It's a global church. And we're called to be like God, to love all. Yeah. And this is not the goal for us to attain. This is the starting point of life. Faith in Jesus is where we begin, not where we're going. It's faith in Jesus, godly love for all. And then Paul is now praying for these people, what's he praying for? You know, we're going to pray for the church. Let's go round. Well, I won't because we haven't got time. But let's go round and go, well, you know, what do you need praying for? You know, imagine this. Imagine going into a cathedral in France and you go there and you can find the corner where there's lots of candles lit up. And there are little prayer messages, aren't you? Very often, isn't there? And you go, and have you ever done this? Sort of wandered into one of those churches, not necessarily in France, and just like gone through the prayers. Have you ever done that? Have been there? You haven't done that, Liz. You want to get out there, enjoy the day. No, but into another church where there's like a prayer place. And prayers are posted up and that sort of... No, well, I'm talking to myself here, aren't I? So, and what are they mostly... They're mostly about getting better, aren't they? Somebody getting better. Aren't they? That's what they're mostly about in my experience. Is that what Paul's praying for? Of course that's important. All sorts of practical everyday things are important. But Paul's prayer for the church is for their spiritual life. Their relationship with God. Their understanding the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if I'm praying for you, which I do, right, is my first prayer for your spiritual health? Is that the core of my prayer for you? Because it ought to be the core of our prayer. We ought to be regularly praying, thanksgiving, loving, and praying for the spiritual health of the church and the individuals that are there. That's the core of our spiritual being ourselves that we're going on. I'm going to jump several points here and look now at the next little passage here. I'll read this passage to you. It's verse 16 to the first half of verse 18, if you've got it there. I'm reading it in the NIV. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you, right, this is the free gift coming, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray, here we go, this is the biggie, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. He doesn't pray that you get, you know, a bachelor of theology in your knowledge of all the details of Scripture and the growth of the church and so on. He prays for your heart. That's your spiritual heart. That will be enlightened. If you've got somebody you're praying for that has not yet followed Jesus and given their life to Jesus? Who's got that? Put your hand up if you're praying for somebody who does not yet know Jesus and you're praying that they will. Okay, quite a few of us. I was hoping for everybody, but there we go. If that's the case, this is what your prayer should be. I pray that God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will open the eyes of their heart. If you want to check that out, go to 1 Corinthians 4. It is the passage on evangelism about opening the eyes of the blind. We're not talking physically blind here. When Jesus did that, he of course created great mercy for that person, but it carried that extra message, didn't it? Of I'm here to open the eyes of the blind to God, and the blind to who Jesus is. He wants, this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do, he wants to open the eyes of your heart. And if you're feeling, I'm not really sure I quite get Jesus yet, I'm here because there's something about this, and but I'm not really sure where I am with God, then my prayer for you is that the Spirit will open the eyes of your heart. But your prayer for yourself is, Lord, open the eyes of my heart that I may know and love you and understand. Yeah. I remember when I prayed that prayer, not exactly those words, but that intent in my prayer as a young man. The Holy Spirit, what do I mean by that? Because that can be a terribly confusing term for many of me. And so really, a really simple way of thinking of that is the presence of God in the lives of believers. It's God himself. It's given to us. He's God himself. He's given to us by God. He's a free gift to live within our lives. And his presence brings many wonderful things, doesn't it, into our lives and into the life, not just of ourself as an individual, because this isn't a letter to an individual. This is a letter to a church, to a collective body, to be a collective body. This is how we should be as people together, not one by one by one. And that's really hard for us, because we live in a society that's all about one by one by one, by me, by me, by me, to be individualism. Back in ancient times, people didn't think so much like that. And in many parts of the world, people didn't think so much like that. I suspect, but I'm not sure, it would be much the case in the Philippines, because when I was in Papua New Guinea, actually, the tribe of people you belong to was where you got your identity from. They thought collectively. And in the West here, we've lost a lot of that sense of belonging together. Yeah. But Paul here highlights possibly the most important aspect of the Holy Spirit's presence in church life. It's imparting wisdom and revelation of God himself. An understanding of God's character, of his purposes, and all he has achieved through Jesus. So when people are scared, loads of Christians are scared about praying for the Holy Spirit in their lives. They're told to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because they think, if God comes like that in all his power and all he is, what's going to happen to me? And do I want that, and can I bear that? But actually, the Holy Spirit in our lives is the one who reveals God to us, who reveals Jesus to us, who brings us a depth of knowledge about him. It's not frightening things. It's wonderful things. And without the Spirit of God, we're unable to grasp and live in a godly way. We're unable to be wise. We're unable to see and understand God. And we're unable to really grasp his purposes. It's not head knowledge. it's spiritual enlightenment. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. It's always helpful if I turn the paper the right way. Let's look at the next little bit really, really quickly here. What does the Holy Spirit want us to know? Second part of verse 18. In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Who here needs hope? Nick does. One or two others do. Actually, as we get older, we become a little more conscious of the need of hope, don't we? Frankly. So I'm not sure how many more days I've got. You know, I hope it's in the hundreds, but I can't be sure. Yeah. But actually, it's terribly important. And it's quite hard to address those things really late in life, isn't it? So that's why we did, on Zoom, Hope Explored this year. Because hope is entirely important to us. If we have not hope, frankly, we're living a lost life, aren't we? We're living an aimless and directionless life. We're living a life that may be full, but it's going nowhere because we've got no idea where we're going because we don't have that hope. He wants us, this is the Holy Spirit, wants us to know the hope he has called us to. This is a very God-centered prayer. Hope is provided by God himself, not provided by us. It's not hope based on our own merits. Quite often people, you know, as they look at their life and they may well be going, how is God going to judge me? God doesn't judge you on your own merits. If you trust in Christ, he judges you on Christ's merits. Our ego, our sin of our self-centered ego, says, no, I don't want that. I really want to be judged on my own merits. Well, come on. Well, look at what Eric tells us. You are dead in your sins, unless you are trusting. So don't rely on your own merits. They're taking you nowhere. Trust in Christ. That's our hope. That's our only worthwhile hope. And the Holy Spirit's work here is to reveal that to us. So that, well, I just want one last point. He wants us to know the riches of his inglorious inheritance in his holy people. So if I talk to you about inheritance, you're probably thinking about what your inheritance might be with God or some elderly, extremely rich relative your hope's going to die very shortly and you don't know very well, you never liked anyway. I'm just going to leave them all your money. But, you know, the inheritance here is not your inheritance. The inheritance here is God's inheritance and you are God's inheritance. This is a God-centered prayer. The riches of his glorious inheritance, the Lord's, in his holy people. You are his inheritance. You are utterly precious to God. So precious to God that he calls you his children. We are meeting our children, some of our children, for the first time in 3 years this week. Can you imagine how precious that is? God is longing for you. He loves you so deeply. You're in his inheritance. And he bought you at the price of his own life. That's the Holy Spirit's wisdom. Let's close with a prayer. We thank you, God, that you are a God filled with love. That you have sent Jesus to claim your inheritance. That you love us so deeply. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, that we may see you. Thank you that you are prepared to seal our lives with your presence. That we have a hope that goes beyond our physical life here to a life lived with you in joyous, glorious presence of God. Thank you, Lord, that you give hope that can sustain us in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. Amen. I think we'll close there so we don't go on longer, because there's been a lot of content in today's service. So we'll stop and we'll have some coffee and some tea, share in fellowship, ask the person you meet how God has blessed them and what you can pray for. Bless you today.